Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It is great to have you in church this morning. If you haven't been around much, this year we've been doing a series on the parables, the teachings of Jesus. And if you scroll back through the podcast on our website, you'll see we've covered quite a few. But scarily enough, I think we're only, how many weeks away from Christmas are we? Is it like five or something? Six? 6 weeks till Christmas? Well, has anyone actually got their shopping done? Really? Wow. That is super impressive. My question to this morning as we're approaching the end of 2015, which is very, very scary, is what have we learnt? It's not going to be a test, but what I do quickly want to do is just go through some of the groupings of the parables that we've done this year. So if we can just scroll through these, Brett's up there, great. So what we've got, we did a background of the parables. We then started to take a look with the parables. We didn't do them in the order in which they were presented by Christ, but we put them within groupings. The first grouping was God's extraordinary forgiveness and grace. And we looked at those particular parables, if you can remember those. Next one, we then had a look at God's love for the lost, and Matthew seems to be somewhat isolated. But anyway, I don't know why that happened. But looking at those ones, and then the next ones, the parables of exemplary behaviour, good challenge for us all, those ones there. And then the parables of wisdom, those ones. Any of those ringing a bell? Please say yes. Just, I'm not telling you to lie, but just humour me. And Michael. And next, is that the next? Yep. All right, so these are somewhat more recent, these ones that we've got, parables of life, our life lifestyle before God. So those parables that you've seen, good news is we're just over halfway. So we're just looking at whether we continue this in 2016. But I just wanted to ask you the question, what have you learnt from the journey of the parables? But more importantly, it's not about head knowledge, it's about allowing that kind of landslide to happen so it sort of like drops, 12 inches slightly to the left, so it affects and molds and shapes our hearts, so then it actually, the issues of life flow out of there so that we then begin to live out the lives based upon God's word or Jesus' teachings in this particular case. So I guess I want to throw that out there because we want to be constantly, continually growing church. Not just numerically, as I keep saying, we're about big people. We're about you becoming all that God has destined and purposed you to be. And when you're that, you are then going, an outworking of that is that you will impact your neighbours, your work colleagues, guys at the footy club, tennis club, crochet club, wherever you go, whatever you do at the cafe, wherever you find yourself. So as we continue to grow in Christ, that the natural outworking that should be is that we're impacting the world around us. And so we're not numerically driven in this church. It's a gauge of health. Anything that is healthy should be growing. You with me? But also we kind of like got to be measuring our own internal growth, and are we actually becoming more and more like Christ? Now, I can't take that responsibility for you. That is something that you've got to take for yourself. We present opportunities for you to grow. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink unless you give them salt tablets. But you know what I'm saying? You've got to take responsibility for your own personal growth. And I'm constantly challenging myself and looking at how am I growing, and am I actually leading anyone to Christ? Who am I actually demonstrating and showing the love of Christ to that needs that in their world? I'm asking myself those questions all the time. So I encourage you to ask yourself, what have you learned and how have you grown this year? Our parable today, if you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Now for me, this is quite a well-known parable. And if you're in a church for a while, I'm pretty sure at some point the pastor, the priest, whoever it may be, would address or preach and teach from this particular passage. Just to give a little bit of context, in Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives and the disciples came to him privately and they said to Jesus, "Tell us." And they asked Jesus some questions. So it's on the Mount of Olives. So this parable that we're reading today continues out of chapter 24 and is part of what they call the Olivet, Mount of Olives discourse, Jesus' teachings to his disciples. So this is a little bit of an insight into some of the teachings that Jesus had with his lads. And so if we start in verse 14, we're referring to the parable of the talents today. Are we there yet? Cool. Again, and in the King James Version, it actually starts off with, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." And whereas here in the NIV that I'm reading from, it says again, but referring back to 25 verse 1, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like. And then he gives the parable of the 10 virgins. So here in verse 14, Jesus is saying again, the kingdom of heaven will be like. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. So they've both doubled them. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." It was funny. I was trying to scroll my Bible there for a second and it didn't work. And I'm just, seriously. Who believes that you should have a sharing, caring kind of family? Ruby was unwell, then Nat got unwell, and they decided to share that with me. So I'm kind of like about as sharp as a bowling ball this morning. So bear with me. I can't. Just a tip: you can't scroll your Bible. What verse are we up to? 20. Turn around. I can't. Yeah, that doesn't work either. 24. Right. Sorry. We digress. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I would harvest where I have not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he will, what he does have will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Father, this morning we know your word is living, it's active if we allow it to be. We ask, Holy Spirit, this morning, as only you can do, that you would bring the revelation required that we need wherever we find ourselves right now. For those maybe still exploring the whole God thing, that somehow through this, Lord, that you would reveal your incredible unconditional love, grace, and mercy. For those of us that maybe are on our journey of faith, that we would find some great encouragement within this, some great challenge within this. So, Holy Spirit, just do whatever it is that you want to do, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we have this parable. As I said, I think it's quite regularly referred to. And in some ways, it can be described as a historico-prophetic parable. By that I mean it has historical context and relevance to us now, but it's giving us insight into what's prophetically, into what is going to happen when Christ returns. So what we have here is we have the master who is likened to Jesus Christ. And we're told that he comes and he distributes gifts to each of the servants. So he gives something to everybody. And then he goes off on a long journey. But then after a long time, he comes back. And so one interpretation of this, it relates to Christ being on the earth, and we see that through the ascension gifts and through the various giftings that God has given everybody gifts, Christ goes and he ascends to be at the right hand of the Father, and he is there, and then he will return, and we will have to give an account for what God has given us. So if we can picture it, when Christ ascended after his death, burial, resurrection, then he ascended, then there's this period of time in which we find ourselves now before Christ will return. And so we're taking a look at what is our responsibility, how does this apply to us, because we're fitting within this gap. Does that make sense? So there's this historico-prophetic kind of principle that's in play here. So we've got three servants, and the servants in this story represent you and me. And we have been told that everybody has been given talents. Okay, now this morning we're going to have roving mic.
I thought that was funny, Phil.
Thanks, Mike. Somebody laughed and then they appreciate it. Whoever laughed, I appreciate it.
Intelligent humour, don't worry.
It was funnier in my mind. I would like for you this morning, in 45 seconds or less, just to let us know what, either in the past that you've got out of this parable, so there may be just one thing, or just something that you've picked up as you've heard it this morning, something that you think's relevant, worth bringing out today. So I need you guys to help me preach this morning. I've got three very simple points that I'm going to wrap up if we have time, but I really want to open it up to the floor if there's something that you've seen in this. Feel free to put your hand up and Michael will come to you. And
the parable of giving, keeping to yourself, it's better to give to other people. They need more than we do.
Yep. So the giver in this situation is God. God gives everybody gifts, and we're called to use those gifts for the benefit of others. Thank you, Jessica. Good. Has anyone ever heard this parable before? Put your hand up. Okay, Michael, go to those people with the hand
up.
See, look at that. He's got his hand up. I like that. Beautiful.
Not to be afraid of failure, but to give it a go.
Good. Is it cardio for the day, mate? Good work. Come on.
I think we're all given different gifts and talents, and the Lord comes and he asks us what we've done with what he's given to us individually. So it's not really up to us to compare with other people and what they're doing. It's really to look at what the Lord has given us and what we do individually with those gifts and talents that we have.
Good. Thank you. Thanks.
Nice. Andrew.
I think for me it's about that time when we will eventually stand in front of the Lord and we will have to account for everything that we've received, a bit like an audit.
Yeah.
And he'll go, okay, so you remember that time I gave you that? What ended up happening with that? Oh, hey, think about this other time when this is what I did. That was really good of me. No, I'm asking you this time. Mm. And it's about, I think, getting still and listening so that we can stand there when we have our audit in front of God and account for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Actually, for years I thought, my empathy was the guy who buried his, because I thought that was quite safe and secure and a good thing to do. And for years I didn't really understand the parable. I think for me, though, it's not whether I've got two or five. It's what I do with what I have. And it tells me to stop looking sideways and feel sorry for all the other guys that only got two. Mm. That was a joke. Bit subtle. So, yeah, just go with what you have. Look straight ahead. Don't look sideways or you lose the race.
Good.
Where's he gone?
He's there. One down the back, one over the side.
Back?
Yeah. Okay, and...
As was said before, we've all got a talent, but I think it's about the faith to actually use your talent and to go out and actually hand it over to God and just do it without the fear. Mm. So that's what's better for me.
Yeah, thanks. Anthony. Jonty.
God gives us the tools, the talents, and He left you with it. So, if, for example, like a tradie, you know, He gives you the bricks, and He leaves you with it. What are you going to do with it? You're going to build a house. You're going to build a strong house. You're going to let it just sit there. He's going to come back, and if the house isn't built, where did you get? I mean, when are you going to take charge of your own life? He's given you all the talents, all the tools. When you're going to man up, step up to the plate, and work with those talents.
Yeah.
You know, you get obstacles, you get distracted, but I mean, hey, it's you got to push through. He's always there.
Yeah, that's good. Mate, can your arms not be so big? All right, Brett. Deeply spiritual.
Too deep a voice as well. It's rubbish.
Deep voice?
It's not manly.
My main thing, I think, is just don't be content with what you're sitting on. Be daring. You know, put yourself out there. Take the risk. That's what I got to do.
Good work, Brett. Got to say, the blokes are on fire this morning.
Yeah.
Yes! It's
unsurprising.
No.
This might surprise you, but I see in a little bit different light.
Yep.
If you read the last one of the last guy, he says, Master, you are sort of a hard person. I think the reason why he didn't do all those things that he did was he see God as really hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the best thing that we can do is see God as good. Yeah. I think then maybe you better do more.
Great. That is good.
Should write all these down, mate. We'll use these another day. When we go to the States, I'm preaching this message, everyone.
Go to the blokes.
Sorry, firstly, I'd like to say, Phil, I think you might have some envy issues with people's muscles.
I'll admit it. I do. I just got to get to the gym more. That's all right.
There's a theme that happened last week with muscles and then again this week with muscles.
That's 45 seconds time. No special privileges here.
No. What 10, I liked, what I 9. Got out. Well, okay, no, don't do that. It's a bit nasty. I can't breathe. Okay. No, I liked how the master gave a certain amount to one servant and then another amount to another. And sometimes I think in life we don't always get the same number of talents and we're not meant to, and that's okay. And what we have, we need to just use and not try. And I think it goes back to that big thing on comparison and not trying to compare ourselves with others, and that, or to think, well, I don't have that much, so I really can't be used, but whatever we do have, just make the most of it, because that's what God has given us, and not to look at others and go, you've got more, because if we use just those two talents, God's going to have the same response to us just as much as He had to the person with the five talents.
Yeah.
Preach it, sister.
Good work, honey. Good work.
Oh gosh, this is nerve-wracking. So the last one said that I knew that you were a hard man harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So it's like, I don't know how the heart of the last man was, but Jesus said that we will do far more than he would ever do. And so, yes, he is going to gather where we have sown the seed and where we have invested in those people. And I think that at first I thought it was a little condemning to call the third man wicked. But I think that if we were all given, I don't know, the cure to cancer, and we held that to ourselves without sharing it, like, how wicked are we?
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Very good.
I'll get to you, Pastor Paul. Hang on.
I think for me it was the timing and the urgency of the parable and how we would stand and we would be accountable for what we have. And I think for me, it's if I sit there or if we sit here trying to spend too long figuring out what is our talent and what is the talent I'm supposed to use, and how should we use it, and come and thinking too much of a plan that the time will be up and we won't have actually done anything. And so I think for me it was really just saying seize the moment and start doing something.
Yeah, do something. Great. I think we can have over-analysis, which leads to paralysis. You end up not doing anything at all. And a moving car is easier to steer than a stationary one. Are we all done? Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Great.
Sometimes we lose sight of the gift that God is actually giving us talents, but he's also not prescriptive. They're saying you have to do this, this, then this. He's empowering us and trusting us to take those talents and do something with them.
Mm, good, thank you.
I don't want to yet.
40.
What am I forgetting?
Oh, okay. It says that he gives to our ability. And even if we have the one talent, sometimes we forget, we sort of put the pressure on ourselves, and it doesn't matter whether we have the one talent or five talents, but we just have to, or I think that we just have to realise that we put the pressure on ourselves, and therefore we don't go out and use that ability. God just doesn't put any pressure on us, but it's us that stops us from going out and doing what we... Yeah. need to do.
That's good, mate. Thank you.
Well remembered.
Well done, mate.
I think for me, going through this parable always makes me feel as if at certain points we have to acknowledge the principle of seasons as well. And just looking at the way he gives the talents or the gold, it's for a period, and obviously it is when he comes back. And that's my cell phone ringing. But I think so often we look at, I look at the talents, and I think that's my talent, my thing that I want for me, that I want to use. And because I have talent A, B, and C, the Lord is going to definitely deploy me in that department. And if I don't deploy myself like that, I am failing. But I think so often what he gives us in certain seasons is better than what we see as being our talents even. So I'm a mum, I have three small children. The gold that he's given me now is my kids. So that's not to say that I don't have other talents, but in this season,
That's right.
Am I growing that? Do my children know the Lord? Have I evangelized them? Do they have that relationship? Have I been faithful in this season? And I think so often it's about, are we faithful in the season he's put us in with what he's given us now? Or do we always look to deploy the more exciting talent? And I just think that's where, for me, I have to be so prayerful and careful that I'm hearing him in terms of what have you given me today? Am I really understanding the talent that I have that you've given me to be faithful with today?
Thank you. That's good. That's good. We have got two more.
Three more.
Two more.
Sometimes we can sort of wonder, why the urgency, or why does this parable seem so harsh? And someone said something to me many years ago that there's other people or there's someone on the other side of your obedience waiting. And that statement kind of directly relates to this parable. There's someone else waiting on the other side of us being obedient to the gifts and the talents that we have. And And I think the reason for the urgency and why it seems so harsh is because God actually does value and love people, and that's why it seems harsh, because we're responsible. Yeah.
Yep, good. One more.
Lester?
I suppose I just want to echo a few people. I think what struck me was verse 26 says, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant.'" And then it goes on to talk about the reaping, etc. But I mean, if you think about it, that is a harsh statement to make. And if salvation of people you know, friends and family, or just strangers, is not enough to stir us to faith in action and actually preaching the gospel to people, then that should. To be labeled wicked and lazy for God is something that I really don't want to be standing before God and being told that. So I think it's a reiteration and just a follow on what from Josh said as well. There is an urgency to this. There is an urgency to what God has given us. It is just unacceptable to have these talents and not do anything with them. That's how I take this.
Very good.
Sorry, I found one more hand. Just briefly. No. I just wanted to highlight... Oh, hang on. Person on the front row with their hand up. I just wanted to probably reiterate what Malcolm said, that it should be about operating out of freedom, not out of a fear of failure, that God's called us to operate out of freedom.
Yeah. Great. Great segue, if only you knew what my notes were going to say. That was fantastic. First of all, I want to celebrate those in the room that you are either desiring to or are currently looking to use and multiply your talents. The great thing is what God's given us, we can increase. Two of these guys doubled them. That's a great challenge to me. Am I double the capacity? Am I double the giftedness as I was, 10 years ago to what I am today? My heart's desire is that I'll just be all that God desires me to be. So those in the room that are using your gifts and you're desiring to multiply them, fantastic. For those that aren't sure, I'm excited for you. Because maybe you make it one of your goals, as we spoke to the blokes last Friday night, make it your goal one of your goals for 2016. Find out what they are, what it is, what has God given you to use for his glory. And so that by the end of 2016, you will have a deep conviction, and that may translate into vocation. And so, that's another message altogether, but a great challenge. I quickly want to just take a look at three things that will either prevent you from using or multiplying your talents. Now, it's come out of what has been said here. The first one, I think, that will prevent you from using or multiplying your talents is fear. I mean, we've all got fears to varying degrees. Fear of what people think of us. Fear of failure. Fear of success. People do actually fear success because the dysfunction I'm living in now, I know. And if I'm to move out of my dysfunction so I don't know what that is. So I'd rather stay in my dysfunction and not move into success. Sometimes we live in that mentality without even realizing it. But fear, I think, is one of those things where this servant said, as we just heard, that you're a hard man, Lord. And so therefore I was afraid and so I just hid. We see that in Scripture when people, as has been rightly pointed out, when people have the wrong view and understanding and revelation of who God is, then that can be potentially our response. So we can be fearful in that sense. But 1 John 4 says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. His perfect love casts out fear. And 2 Timothy 1 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. So the way that I see it, again, it's sort of come out here, is that faith is sometimes called risk. Faith is sometimes called risk. And we don't try because we're afraid it's not going to work or could be afraid of what people will say about us. But yet to grow, to multiply our talents, we have to be willing to be stretched, to be enlarged, to take risks, and guess what? To get it wrong. Well, I'm allowed to get things wrong as a Christian? Absolutely. Now, hear me when I say that, though. Let me qualify that. First of all, for me, change is not an optional extra when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ. The older we get, the more comfortable and set in our ways we are supposed to get. For the majority, generally speaking, we become more risk-averse. We don't want change. We like routine. We like everything being safe and structured and ordered. But yet for us to fully grow and to see our talents multiplied and increased, we've got to have an attitude and a mentality that we're willing to take risks. Martin Luther said this. Now, this is a really controversial quote. Have a listen to this. He said this. He said, "Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly. Pray boldly, for you too are a mighty sinner." Let me read that again. "Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly. Pray boldly, for you too are a mighty sinner." You see, the idea is that God's grace is so powerful, it finally and does defeat sin altogether. We don't have to become paralyzed with the fact that we are still vulnerable to sin, but instead rejoice in God's power to overcome sin. And Paul says in the ends of Romans 5 and the start of Romans chapter 6, he says, so if God's grace is sufficient for all and we want to see God's grace manifest, so we should keep on sinning so that we can actually show people that God's grace is sufficient. No, that's just utter stupidity. That's abusing what we celebrated here this morning, Jesus Christ shedding his blood for us and treating it as a common thing. The point here is that Jesus invites us into his kingdom and to follow him in the lifestyle. And we're not supposed to be worried about securing things for ourselves, but live lives of selflessness, self-abandon, and be a witness to those around us, knowing that the grace of God, listen to this, that the grace of God is powerful enough and sufficient enough to compensate for any mistakes we might make in trying to passionately follow Jesus. Now, this is logical to me. If it may not be to you, but it is to me. If I'm passionately following Jesus Christ and I don't want fear to limit me from multiplying and increasing my gifts, and my heart is truly set on pleasing him, and then my actions should line up with the Word of God. So therefore, the risk, and if I'm truly being Holy Spirit-led, let me ask you a trick question. Will the Holy Spirit lead you into sin? Wow, there's a revelation for you to take home. If we are being Spirit-led and the Holy Spirit wants to take us on a journey of increasing and multiplying our talents more than we want to go on that journey, we need to follow that. And even if we make a mistake, if we're truly being Spirit-led and we're passionately, our heart is truly after the things of God, if we make a mistake in all of that trying, God's grace is sufficient. Now, I'm not saying this is an excuse to go off and do whatever you want. It's about being Spirit-led. It's about lining yourself up with the Word of God and attempting and taking risks that line up with the Word of God. And if we do that in our humanness and we make a mistake, God's grace is all-powerful and it is sufficient. So this is not about licentiousness. It's not about liberalism. It's not an excuse to go out and do whatever you want. It's understanding that God's grace is more powerful than whatever mistakes that we will make. There's a fine line, and if that's not making sense to you, then I'd love to chat more with you about it. But what I'm saying is that God is cheering us on. There is a whole stadium filled with stands of the warriors and the people that have, men and women of faith that have gone before us, cheering us on, saying, you can do it, go for it. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Take a risk. When was the last time you took a risk? When was the last time you took a risk and stepped out in faith and said, God, if you don't come through, I'm stuffed? Like, when was the last time? No, you really did it. They're like, not knowing that we've got like Centrelink and we've got government benefits and we've got all these safety nets in place in the comforts of the society in which we live. When was the last time you had such a deep conviction that this is the way God's leading me and it doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to go for it anyway? We're called to be bold and courageous. We have to be willing to step out in faith, take risks, multiply our talents. To do that, we've got to get around people who will challenge us, stretch us, encourage us, dare us to take risks in our own faith journey. The second thing, let's wrap it up with two more. Second thing is comparison, and people said that, where I can't do what they can do. You see, if we compare ourselves, as I think Nat might have said, if we compare ourselves to people we think have got less talent or giftings than what we do, then we can become conceited, proud, and arrogant. If we compare ourselves to those that in our minds they've got more, we can get jealous and cynical. And that's why we're called to be content in who God has created us to be. And to celebrate that, Galatians 6:4 says, each of you must examine your own actions. Then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. Assume your own responsibility. 2 Corinthians 10 says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. What Paul's saying here is that it's foolishness to compare yourself to somebody else. You'll either sort of like have an inflated opinion of yourself, or you'll want to curl up in the fetal position and suck your thumb. Neither of those things are good. Just be content in who you are. And we've got to remember who we do what we do for. Everything we do, we should be doing as unto the Lord, not to gain man's acclaim or to please people. When I pray with my daughters, it's like, Father, I pray that we would be people that are God pleasers, not people pleasers. We wouldn't care what our friends think of us, that at the end of the day when we put our head on the pillow, that Father, we know we're living lives that's pleasing to you and it doesn't have to make sense to the people around us. I think it's incredibly liberating and freeing just to be yourself. Acknowledge that we've all got a long way to go, that none of us have arrived. That we need to have that heart's desire to grow and to learn and to be challenged. Turn to the person next to you and just say, be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. There's no better you you can be. Just be yourself. Now pat yourself on the chest and say, be yourself. Tell yourself to be yourself. All right. So we've got fear and we've got comparison can limit you using your talents or multiplying your talents. The last one is the guilt of the past. Guilt or regret from the past. This can paralyze your future. Hebrews 9, have a listen to this. For all of those of you, us here today, that in some way feel as though that you have been disqualified from doing anything in the kingdom of God for the future. Have a listen to this. If that's the battle that goes on in your mind. Hebrews 9 says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God? It's been done for us. In Christ Jesus, that guilt that we carry, that regret that we might hold on to, has been dealt with. He wants to free our minds of that so that there is nothing in our past that can hinder us moving into our future. I love that. I love that. Whether it's the guilt of mistakes or regret of not doing what you know maybe you should have done or been doing by now, or that you're not further down the track of your journey of faith than maybe what you should be. And I speak to everybody in the room who's maybe over the age of 40. If you think to yourself, I should be further down the track in my relationship with what I am with God now, and you find yourself stuck, listen to this verse. Let it liberate and free you to action from this day forward. You don't have to allow anything that's transpired in your past to limit what the future, because Jesus Christ has done it all for you and for me. No excuses. No excuses. Don't hold back anymore. So in summary, we have this amazing God who gives gifts to all according to our ability. We're not called to compare ourselves to anyone else. He only gives us what we can handle, no more, no less. But the reality is we choose what we do with them. Are we told how these guys doubled their talents? We're not told that. They just got on and did it. Some of us sit back and are waiting. We know we've got talents, but we're just waiting, waiting. How long have you been waiting to do something with it? Are you waiting for the audible voice of God? Are you waiting for the lightning flash in the sky? I don't want to be a pessimist, but it's probably not going to happen. God's already revealed to you what gifts and talents you've got. And if you know what they are and you're just sitting back wondering, I'm just waiting for the right time. Thus saith the Lord, it's the right time. I'm saying to you, because why? There's a sense of urgency. Somebody else's eternal destiny may be on the other side of your obedience. And I don't take that lightly. So if you're sitting here today and you've got talents and you've got things you want to give, this is not a recruiting drive for Compass Church. There is a bigger picture at play than Compass Church. This involves your workplace. It involves the people that God has put you with. And so this morning, may you be encouraged, because with great gifts comes great responsibility. And as we're told here and shown here, with great responsibility comes great accountability. Great accountability. We will be held accountable for what we do or not do with what God has given us. It's a pretty, pretty scary and should be a greatly motivating thought for us today. Let's pray. Father, this morning, just thank you for being able to get together like this. We thank you, Lord, that you are building your church. The gates of hell will not prevail. That history has shown, Father, that your kingdom is extended through men and women that are just willing to say, Father, I will do whatever I can with what you've given me. That, Father, you are looking for men and women, young and old alike, whose hearts are fully devoted and turned towards you, through whom you can show and prove yourself strong. We want to be that people. We don't want to just be knowers and sayers of the word. We want to be doers. Thank you for your word to us. There is so much that we could take out of this passage. But again, I pray, Holy Spirit, as only you can do, for wherever we may find ourselves, that we'd have hearts that are open, minds that are open to hearing and seeing what it is that you want us to take from this passage that we can apply to our lives starting today. Today. May we not get to the end of this year and not truly have learnt something and applied something in our lives from your word that you have graciously given us. So I pray for your church this morning, Jesus. I pray for each one of us. Help us, Lord God, to be all that you have called us to be. There is a whole community right around us that desperately needs Jesus. There is a city called Melbourne that desperately needs Jesus. It's the nation of Australia. There are the nations of the world that need Jesus. There's a lot to be done. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for anyone that battles or wrestles with the pain of regret. That you would just do your ministering work today, that you would bring freedom to people's hearts and minds today in Jesus' name. We can't go back, but Jesus, you've already dealt with it for us, and we thank you for that. We break the power of regret in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.